ಗೋವಿಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
Bottom of 16. No? Yeah. The ancient sage Dramita has defined the term Upanishad as that which is deeply immersed in Brahman. Brahmani Upanishaneti Upanishate. The Upanishads contain sacred doctrines, rahasyas, which are to be imparted only to qualified students. Thus they are described as Guhya Vidya, or secret knowledge. Since Bhagavad Gita, Gita Upanishad, contains the essence of all the Vedas, the same concept and indeed the same words appear there also. Sa evayam maya tejya yoga prokta puratana bhakto si me shakha cheti rahasyam yeta uttamam. That very ancient secret of this, the relationship with the Supreme, is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend, and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Bhagavad Gita 4.3. Iram tute guhyatamam pravakshyam yanusuyave. My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization. So the qualification for this knowledge, then, we see is that one is a devotee, one is committed to the Lord, one is not envious of the Lord, therefore one can understand the hidden meanings of the Shastra. Otherwise, those are not open. It's not a matter of that the words are there, the Sanskrit's there, the word for word is there. You have a brain, you read it, and therefore you know everything. That may be if you want to know car mechanics or something like that. But to know God, then it has to be revealed. He's a person and he only reveals himself as he sees fit. Not because of intellectual prowess, not because I read it, I didn't see it, or I read that, I didn't understand that like that. That's not enough. So we see here as if, so that means then the scriptures will never reveal themselves to someone who doubts them. Right? Krishna won't reveal himself to someone who doubts him. Right? The understanding of the devotees, glories of the devotees, will not be revealed to those who doubt devotees. The devotional process will not be revealed to those who doubt it. It's just the way it is. You're dealing with people here. It's not just because you want it happens. Right? That maybe happens when you're 3 years old, right? And mommy takes care of everything. But when you're a big boy, then it's on a different platform. When Krishna wants, he reveals. He doesn't want, he doesn't reveal. And what is this want, not want? Is it just sentimental? Is it something not standard? No, it's that you actually have the devotional, therefore he'll reveal that. Otherwise, why should he reveal the devotional attitude and the secrets of relationship if that's not what you want? Right? Because it's not something intellectual. It may be, gained through the medium of the intelligence, but it's based on devotional attitude. When the attitude is there, then through the Shastra, then we may understand this. So the Upanishads, as we can see, is studied by the most intellectual class of men. But only a few of those intellectuals appreciate the devotional content. Most think it's just, it means very nice philosophy that's ending in impersonalism. Right? Very few understand that this is actually dealing with the topmost elements of, tattva and rasa between the Lord and his devotees. Right? Just the language is such, it's a bit is more technical, more on the philosophical, or more seemingly dry. But what its content is the same as other shastras that describe it in more poetic language. Right? So the revelation of that, then this is very important, that is not one who's ever envious, right? So this conversation is for the devotees. We always have to keep that in mind. Like that. Upanishads are known as Brahmavidya, knowledge of Brahman. They are the foundation of all Vedanta schools of thought, the four Vaishnava Sampradayas and the followers of Adi Shankara. Because right, there's six systems of Vedanta philosophy. Right? You have the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, you have Shankara, and then you have Baladeva. Right? Means in our line. So that way you have... So the Upanishads are the basis of all that. All of them will quote the Upanishads. Mukti Kopanishad gives a list of 108 Upanishads. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lita 7108. Out of them, there are 14 Upanishads which are regarded as most important. They are Isha, Kena, Katha, Prasna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Aitreya, Taittiriya, Briharanyaka, Chandogya, Shvetasvatara, Kaushitaki, Shubala, and Mahanarayana. These 14 Upanishads are usually categorized as principles since they are extensively quoted in Vedanta Sutra as well as in the Bhashyas, commentaries, of the three important commentators on Vedanta, Shankara, Ramanuja, and Madhva. The first 10 Upanishads, known as Dasopanishads, have separate commentaries by both Shankara and Madhva. Ramanuja did not write commentaries on the Upanishads, but his followers, Ranga Ramanuja, wrote commentaries on them except Ishopanishad. Although Baladeva wrote commentaries on the 10 Upanishads, only his Ishopanishad commentary is available at present. Yeah, so these 14, then they are quoted, then these 10 are considered like your main. Everybody accepts those 10. And then of that we see Ishopanishad is the primary because of its specialness of being part of the Veda, directly part of the Samhita part of the Veda. All Vedanta schools of thought accept that the principal Upanishads deal with five main subject matters. So this is important. The nature of Brahman, the nature of the soul, Jivatma, and its relation to Brahman. The material energy, its origin and connection to Brahman. The means of attaining Brahman, sadhana. The nature of the supreme goal and the status of Jiva in mukti. So in here we see is these five. This is the basis, all philosophy you can judge by these five. We have here, we've been studying this a lot, just that this is an Upanishadic presentation. But in other words, the nature of Godhead, the nature of the soul relation to Godhead, the nature of the material world in relation to Godhead, right? So that's your sambandha. Then the means of obtaining Brahman, in other words, your devotional process, that's your abhideya. The nature of the supreme goal and status of the jiva in mukti, so the nature of the supreme goal of developing love for Krishna, the status of the jiva, that he's still an individual who is serving Krishna in that mood of affection. Does that make sense? So we're used to it. So if you want to study any other philosophy, then you simply have to bring all its points down into these five categories. Because right? If you do that, especially means in the Indian philosophies, then you'll see that there's a lot on these, like that. So some areas they may kind of reduce. But if you go into Western philosophies and religions, you'll see it gets pretty skimpy, these five. So you kind of wonder what's the basis anyway. What is the nature of God? He's the supreme, he's all in all, he's the creator. You could write it in, you know, a couple of sentences. The nature of the soul and its relation to Brahman. You know, either it is the body or it's something separate from the body, but that's about it. They don't know. The material energy is simply, it's been created by God for the living entity's enjoyment. What's its relation to God? It works under his laws, but that's it. They won't have anything more to offer. The means of obtaining God, be nice, be good, right? Don't be bad, right? And the nature of the supreme goal, attain to heaven. Status of the jiva there, having a good time. Right? So it doesn't go much beyond this. That's the difficulty. So if you really want to study, because otherwise you say, oh, here, you have to write an essay on, the philosophy of, one of the world philosophies or religions. You might think, oh, this is very big, it's going to be a very big essay and all that. No, it's actually going to be a very small essay, because you simply have to identify these 5 points. That's all. So it will be a very small essay. Does that make sense? That's the whole idea. So it becomes very easy to study anything like this. Regarding the first topic, the nature of Brahman, the central issue is whether Brahman is without characteristics. This is the Mayavad concept, it's called Nirvishesh. Or he has characteristics. This is called the Savishesh doctrine, upheld by the Vaishnavas. Right? So basically that's what it comes down to. Does he have qualities or not? Right? Then there's those who claim he does, but he doesn't. He's a person, he's this, he's that, but what are his qualities? He doesn't have any. Like that. So that's a problem. Right? It's a bit of a problem. Right? Regarding the first topic, okay. Regarding the jiva, the important topic is whether it is different from Brahman or identical in all aspects to him. Right? It means what are the similarities, what are the differences? So some will say it's completely different, some will say it's completely the same, and some will say it's a mix. Concerning the material energy, the key issue is whether it is created by Brahman and is it a real or illusory. Right? Did it just happen on its own, right? Like that. There was some, blip in the matrix and it just appeared, something like that. What happened, How did that? As far as sadhana is concerned, the question is whether knowledge about the identity between jiva and Brahman is enough for liberation. And regarding mukti, the major issue is whether the jiva attains its individuality in the state of liberation, as told by the Vaishnavas, or it is merged in Brahman, the opinion of the impersonalists. There is no disagreement among the different schools of Vedanta that these are the main topics of the Upanishads. However, the acharyas differ in the way they explain them. The differences are caused often by the language of the Upanishads, which is esoteric and conveys more than one meaning. More importantly, there are passages which seem to disagree with each other. The classic example is the Chandogya Upanishad text, Tattvam Asi, which out of the context appears to establish the identity of the jiva and Brahman. There are other places in the Upanishads, however, where the difference between the living entity and Brahman is fully declared. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Katha Upanishad. Similarly, Mundaka Upanishad describes the absolute truth in negative terms, like invisible, adreshya, and ungraspable, agrahya, suggesting that it is devoid of characteristics. But the same Upanishads describe Brahman also as omniscient, sarvajna, and all-knowing, sarvavit. These apparently contradictory statements have confused the Western scholars. The majority of them made the wrong conclusion that the Upanishads do not present a coherent system of philosophy. And, if at all, a system of philosophy, in a broad sense, is formulated, it is the impersonal monism of Shankara. Thus, the modern scholars who never practiced or indeed accepted the discipline of the Vedic method of knowledge failed to understand the message of the Upanishads. The traditional commentators on Vedanta do not accept the conclusion reached by the contemporary scholars. All the acharyas who are not simply scholars but spiritually enlightened souls except that the Upanishads present a complete and consistent system of transcendental philosophy. In other words, the depending upon what it is because they can't tell these, differentiate these 5 aspects, therefore they can't tell what we're dealing with. Because the process of liberation, it's like you have the nature of Godhead. So 2 things have to be established here, because you're dealing with a conditioned soul. One is the lack of the Supreme's connection with the conditioned environment. The other is his transcendental position. Okay? So now, if you look at it from here, from the conditioned state, then the Lord is beyond. Therefore, you know, He is unlimited. He's all these things that are opposite of the qualities here. Right? Or it means He has none of the qualities here. So He will not have form, not have all these different qualities. He will not be affected by the modes of nature. Right? If you look at it from the other side, then we have the thing of Him as a person, what are His qualities? And depending upon one's realization, then it will be a matter of just what is the greatness? Is His godness His greatness? Or is His relationship, and the sweetness of His relationship with the devotees, His greatness? Does that make sense? So therefore you get all these different flavors, right? One is, from here, He doesn't have any of the qualities here. So therefore, one could come to the conclusion He has no qualities, period. Right? The next is you're saying, like that, He knows all, He sees all, right? He's the source of all. Then it still can be utilized in the impersonal way. Though it's a little more difficult, but it still can be used. But at the same time, it also then supports that He's beyond this creation. Right? So at least He doesn't end up as something mundane. But it doesn't actually start getting serious until we explain His qualities in relationship to His pastimes, right? To His devotees. Then it becomes very serious. Otherwise, the Brahmana understanding, Paramatma understanding, then gives rise to impersonalism. So when we have the Bhagavan understanding, then it becomes situated very properly in the Vaishnava understanding of that relationship or rasa with the Lord. Right? Does this make sense? So one has to be able to distinguish between these various explanations. That it's not that they're not all explaining the same thing. Right? But it's just the language used and the context used, then you have to realize what they're talking about. If the thing is about the jiva's condition, the Lord is not, then it's going to be using one state. The jiva thinks he's in control and everything, he's trying to be the field. He has to become the sarvajna. We understand, even if he is, the Lord is still the sarvajna of everything, right? It means, in other words, the living entity is the knower of the field. The Lord knows all the fields. Right? So then it makes a distinction between the jiva and that. Because at first you're just establishing his position. But then you want to establish that the soul is transcendental. But having done that, you want to make sure there's a difference there. We're mundane, God's not mundane. We're actually supposed to not be mundane, but that doesn't mean we're God. Once all that's understood, then you can go on to explain the relationship in rasa between the living entity and God. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then, before that being explained, one might mistake that I am God. So one has to be very clear on that. Right. Does that make sense? Right. In other words, God is better at being God than we are. Right. So. The fact that Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, systematized the teachings of the Upanishads in his Vedanta Sutra, establishes without a doubt that the Upanishads contain a unified system of philosophy. Otherwise, if it wasn't consistent, how did he make the Vedanta Sutra? Right? And everybody will say that it represents what's being spoken in the Upanishads. Right? So all the great scholars, they accept that. Right? It's the academics don't, because they don't follow any sadhana. They're not following the lifestyle given by the Upanishads. Right? Because that way then you'll understand. The philosophy of the Upanishads is in perfect harmony with the conclusions reached by all other Vedic literatures. Quote, there is complete agreement among the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and no one should try to reach any conclusion about the Vedas without receiving instructions from members of Vyasadeva's disciplic succession. who believe in the personality of Godhead and his diverse energies as they are explained in Sri Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad, Mantra 7, purport. So one should not try to come to any conclusion without hearing from the succession. Otherwise, one will definitely come to the wrong conclusion. Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad, or Ishavashopanishad, is usually listed as the first of the 10 Upanishads. It appears in the Vajrasanaya Samhita of Shukla Yajurveda. Although it is one of the smallest Upanishads, containing only 18 mantras, it is highly respected among all Indian transcendentalists because it represents in a terse form the fundamental topics of Vedanta. Sri Baladeva Vidyabhushan declares Ishopanishad as, quote, the Acharya among the Shrutis. Among the principal proponents of Vedanta, Shankara and Madhva have written a commentary on Ishopanishad. Although Ramanuja has not written a separate commentary, he has commented on some important mantras in Sri Bhasya and Vedarta Sangraha. The very first word of the first mantra of Ishopanishad, Ishavasyam, is a starting point of a discussion about the nature of the ultimate reality, Brahman. Isha refers to the supreme ruler of the universe, the Lord. According to Ramanuja, the word Vasyam means that which is being pervaded. Vasyam can imply also that the supreme Lord, as the supporter of the universe, is present in everything as supersoul. Idam Sarvam refers to all conscious beings and inert matter, and the word kincha means that there is nothing that is not pervaded by the Lord. Right, so Isha means the controller, the Lord. Vasyam, what can be entered. So he enters the universe, and as Brahman is his energies, and as Paramama into the hearts of all the living entities. So therefore he has entered everything. And then at the end the kincha, or we have kinship, then that there's nothing that's not pervaded by him. So when we say he's entered everything, and then we make it, you know, clear that there's nothing that is not entered by him. Otherwise one might have a doubt. Okay, he's entered everything but this. Right? You know, just like the Vedas apply to everyone but us in the modern age. Right? You know, it's the same kind of logic. So therefore that's why it gives the Vedas are for everyone and at all times, all places, all circumstances they apply. Then it's very hard to bring up these kind of discussions. Otherwise they will be. Madhva represents interprets the compound word Ishavasyam as the universe, which is the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam 8.1.10. But the word Jagatyam refers to the primeval matter, and Jagat denotes the manifested creation. The universe is dependent on the Supreme Ruler, and it is by His grace that it is able to function. Right? So he's taking a different flavor. See, this important is that there's no contradiction between the acharyas. They're just bringing out a different point. So even though they're just bringing out another point because there is a theme that they're presenting. So based on that theme, that presentation works very well. So there will be no contradiction. So he's doing also residence of the universe means that it's the world is manifest and it is dependent upon him. And by his grace, then it is functioning. So that means everything in it is functioning by his grace. So that means he's connected with everything. Because he's avoiding the element that Ramanuja mentions, how as Brahman he's pervading everything. Right? Does that make sense? Why would he do that?
He's come strictly just to show that there's two?
Yes. He doesn't want to in any way, shape, or form acknowledge that there's such a thing as, basically, as Brahman. It's there, but he doesn't want to in any way emphasize it. Otherwise, then it's something that the Mayavadis will catch on to and say, here, see? Like that. So he just avoids it. So even in dealing with this, he's saying that he's there, the material universe is there, it is manifest and it's dependent upon him because by him it's running. So it's every aspect of it, there's God and there's the universe. Because as soon as you bring in the energies, there's confusion. Right? on all levels, right? So then you want to make sure that nothing comes up, right? Even devotees get bewildered by the element of how Krishna in his Brahman form has entered into everything, right? Therefore, one can see Maya everywhere, but at the same time, one could see Krishna everywhere, just depending upon whether you accept this point or not. Is that what I'm saying? So then Madhva deals with this same point by just showing the relationship that the universe is manifest for him and dependent upon him. So all aspects of it, all functions are in relationship to him. By his mercy, it can function. Right? So it always keeps this two, which is also very nice. It's also another way how you connect everything to Krishna. Ishvapanishad firmly asserts that the Supreme Being is the ruler and the owner of this cosmic creation. Since he is described in early, clearly personal features, he cannot be the impersonal Nirvishesh Brahman. The very word Isha, translated by Srila Prabhupada as the Lord, suggests that we deal with two different entities, namely the ruler and the ruled, Isha and Anisha. Isha means also that the universe is dependent upon the Supreme Lord, because if he's controller, that means it is controlled, right? The control is always dependent upon the controller. Right? So when you're dealing with this controller and controlled, if there's some problem in the controller, you don't get rid of the concept, because the controlled still is dependent upon a controller. Right? So to make them equal does not solve your problem. Right? Does that make sense? The child is being given not very, let's say, nutritious food. So therefore, to solve the problem, we will get rid of food. Right? Does that solve the problem? We will simply say that the food and the child are the same. Right? Therefore, the child can eat himself. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that we bring God down to our level, or we bring ourselves up to his level, then it all disappears. Or the same in the modern political scenario, we bring the leaders down to our level, or elevate the common person up to their level, and then it's all one, it's all the same. But then, where's the relationship? Right? And what is the same quality? Right? Because one is controller, one is controlled. Right? You may have both are humans, or both are Brahman, but it's Supreme Brahman, right? And then the individual, the infinitesimal Brahman. Does that make sense? So otherwise one is ignoring the nature, ignoring the relationship. So then Madhva then brings that out. And then here Srila Prabhupada also brings out the element, the Lord, so that means then there must be someone who is controlled by that Lord.
It seems that they're just trying to create confusion. It's just words out there. They don't want a conclusion.
Yes.
It's not practical.
It's not practical. The conclusion means if you want the conclusion that I'm God, then you have to cut out a lot of, obvious facts that we're not. Because if we're God, why do we have to die? Why do things not go the way we like? We can say it's Leela, but then Leela means you're enjoying it. And you're in control of it. So if you're not in control of it, not enjoying it, how do you call it Leela? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Or the academics, they just finesse it, you know, so if they can't reduce it down to numbers, then it doesn't exist. You know, so, you know, they should somehow or another calculate, you know, which mathematical formula proves their affection for their wife or child. You know, but, so they finesse all that. It's very obvious. But they just finesse it. And then say it's not important, doesn't exist, or you're changing the subject, you know, or you're being a sentimentalist. They have their methods. They've been quite good at defending their position for 1,000 years, these guys. So, you know, like that. It's unfortunate. It's interesting to note that only, what do you say, Shankara and Madhva wrote commentaries on Ishvapanishad. So that Prabhupada wrote a commentary on Ishvapanishad that's very special. Because other acharyas, even the other acharyas, didn't do that. So that's something very... In In Ishopanishad, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Ekam, one, which implies that there is nothing greater or equal to him. He is unmoving, anejat, because all other beings in the universe are pervaded by him. According to the illustrious successor of Ramanuja, Vedanta Deshika, the description of the Lord as being simultaneously far and near, mantra 5, means that he is very far from the atheists and very near to the devotees. Shankara interprets the mantras 6 and 7 in the sense that only Brahman is real and the universe does not actually exist. Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. All Vaishnava commentators refute this theory. The followers of Ramanuja point out that in the context of the opening hymn of Ishopanishad, the material creation which is supported and pervaded by the Lord cannot be false. The alignment of Brahman and the cosmos, which is suggested in the mantra 7, does not mean that only Brahman is real and the universe is bogus. It means that the Supreme Lord is present inside the universe as the Supersoul, Antaryami. Srila Prabhupada also rejects the idea that the material world is false. Quote, "This material world is avyaya, external, eternal energy, but it is not false. As the Mayavad philosophers say, Jagan Mitya. No, Jagat is not Mitya. It is fact, but it is temporary. That is the Vaishnava philosophy. We don't say that this world is false. Why should it be false? If it has come from the truth, how can it be false? Purnamidam, Purnamada, Purnamadham, Purnat, Purnam, Udachite. It is perfect, but it is being misused. That is Maya. How it is being misused? Krishna says that he is the enjoyer, Bhoktaram Yagyatavasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the proprietor of all the lokas, all the brahmandas, but unfortunately we are dismissing Krishna. We are trying to be the enjoyer of this material world. That is Maya. The world is not Maya, but the intention of the living entities to enjoy this material world, to satisfy their senses, that is Maya. They are becoming entangled while trying to enjoy this material world. In another lecture, Srila Prabhupada points out how the Mayavadis reached this fallacious conclusion. One is very, very busy for acquiring things for enjoyment, sense enjoyment, and when he's dissatisfied, he cannot fully enjoy. Neither he's satisfied, he says, Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya. This world is false. There is no need of this world. The grapes are sour. The same story. The jackal and the grapes. A jackal wanted to eat the grapes, and it jumped many times, but could not approach the grapes. So at last he satisfied himself that there is no need of grapes. It is sour. So this Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya is like that. When one is fed up or tired of this world, he cannot enjoy it due to age or other circumstances. At that time, he says, Jagan Mitya. Why Jagan Mitya? If God is truth, then creation of God is also truth. Why it should be Mitya? But because he has no knowledge, sufficient knowledge of the Vedic instruction. Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam Purnam Adah Purnat Purnat Purnam Udachite. Ishopanishad Mantra 1. He does not know that creation of God is complete. Srila Prabhupada Lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-2-19, 30th October 1972 in Vrindavan. So they've come to this conclusion because they're trying to enjoy. They can't. They can't get in way control of it. So then they then say it's of no use. It's not important. And then they try to become God, right? I'm not the controller, I can't control anything, so I'll satisfy myself with saying, I'm God. I won't make the endeavor because it's not worth it. Like that, and I'll just sit back and be satisfied that I'm God. I can't enjoy, so then I'll be the controller. Right? Still, we're not the controller, but it sounds good. Right? It sounds very nice. Everyone says, you're God. You know, it works for the Mayavadis. In Mantra 2, Ishopanishad emphasizes the performance of karma for a lifetime. The text reads, one may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continually goes on working in that way. In his commentary on this verse, Shankara states that this injunction applies only to the karma yogis, who have not attained Atmagyan, knowledge that the self is different from the matter. For the Gana Yogis, or persons who have attained Atmagyan, it is not necessary to perform any kind of prescribed activities. Rather, they should only meditate on the impersonal Brahman. The implication of this statement is that the fruit of work and bhakti are considered identical, and thus bhakti is not actually required for attaining mukti. Right? So they're trying to distract from the actual devotional process or the elevating process by putting in that action is not necessary. Right? So that means any action. So they don't distinguish between transcendental and material. So that's their difficulty. They don't believe in transcendental activity. They only believe in transcendental existence. Material activity, which is not real, and transcendental existence, which they say is. Right? So this becomes a difficulty, because then devotional service by them gets thrown into this category. So, how do you say? The bhakti. Yeah. So, we all agree that transcendental existence is, it's there, but we also say the material existence exists. The difficulty is our concept of what it is for our control and enjoyment. That's the illusion. That's the temporary aspect. But what we want to control and enjoy, it factually exists. Right? But that we can control and enjoy it, that's the illusion. You know, it'd be like the bee on the outside of the honey jar. He can't enjoy the honey. But the honey is existing. Right? But they'll say it doesn't exist. It's an illusion. Right? Why? Because they can't enjoy it. They can't get at it, so they say it doesn't exist. According to the followers of Madhva and Ramanuja, however, the term karma should be understood in a sense of performing the prescribed duties without attachment to their fruits and with full dedication to the Supreme Lord. Such activity does not cause material bondage, na karma lipyate nare. Ramanuja particularly defines karma as an aid, anga, of upasana, bhakti. The practitioner overcomes the reactions from his sinful and pious deeds by performing detached work, and thus, freed from material bondage, meditates on the Lord, upasana. Only through upasana, aided by karma, one is able to achieve the supreme goal. So he's saying is that karma is an anga of bhakti. So it's not that when we say it's karma, misra, this or that, that means, okay, it's not, our consciousness is not on the purest platform, but that the karma itself or activity in Krishna consciousness, that in no way is something lesser. Right? Otherwise, what are all the Brajvasis doing? Meditating, tapasya, studying Vedanta. They're all doing work. What they're saying is that by doing karma with materialistic motives, that binds you in the world through generating pious and impious situations, right? Or results. So if you perform the same activity without a desire for a result, then there is no result. Right? That's binding. The same result comes, but you're not bound by it anymore. So the same activity frees you from material nature. Right? Your illusion that is caused by activities in with improper understanding is then corrected by performing the same activity with the proper understanding. That makes sense? Right? We're cooking, we get bound. We cook for Krishna, it's the same activity, same preparation, but we're free. Right? That makes sense? So then they're pointing out, therefore karma is an anga of bhakti. It's part of the devotional process. In his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada develops this concept. Quote, the instructions of Sri Ishopanishad are more elaborately explained in the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes called the Gita Upanishad, the cream of all the Upanishads. In the Bhagavad Gita 3:9-16, the personality of Godhead says, the one cannot attain the state of Naishkarmya, or Akarma, without executing prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedic literature. This literature can regulate the working energy of a human being in such a way that he can gradually realize the authority of the Supreme Being. When he realizes the authority of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Krishna, it is to be understood that he has obtained the stage of positive knowledge. In this purified stage, the modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, cannot act, and he is able to work on the basis of Naishkarmya. Such work does not bind one to the cycle of birth and death. It's Upanishad Mantra 2 purport. Interesting to note here the element. One cannot attain the state of Naishkarmya without executing prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedic literature. So if you want to become detached from the material energy, you have to perform the activities as recommended by the Vedic literature, right? Then in that state, doing it for the Supreme Lord, one will come to the detached platform. Right? So you can't make up your own process. Right? But we have to follow the instructions of scriptures. Right? We're chanting Hare Krishna, we're performing activities, we clean the temple, we do all these things. That, performing those activities to please Krishna, that will bring us to the platform of Naishkarmya. We can't make up our own process. It won't work. Okay. So we'll continue with this on tomorrow. Yeah. It's the end. See, it's supposed to be as we're going. If you have a question, at any time you raise your hand. Does that make sense? Then when the time's up, You can ask tomorrow. We'll start with your question tomorrow. Okay? You just have to remind us by raising your hand.
I'm just waiting for the time when the question was related.
And that time was after I said, okay, this is it. We're continuing tomorrow. So that, then the question related there? Or you know what I'm saying?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premanandi. So, do you have the next work? Because it looks like we'll finish this tomorrow and not move on. Okay. Very good. So you'll give it out and
yeah, we'll
get it.
Yeah.
I'll get also.
Yeah. Yes,
okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, just put it inside.
That is the stuff.